quite an honor right here.
Yes, it is.
On the Super Celebrity Hotline, Tom Ridge is joining us. He was the governor of Pennsylvania. He was the first Secretary of Homeland Security and now the chairman of Ridge Global, and a man who knows his stuff. Let's just put it that way.
No question.
Had the great honor. I'm sure, Secretary, you won't remember this, but you and I stood next to each other at the 2008 Republican convention in St. Paul. And I was working for ABC News at the time, and John McCain was giving a speech, and I grabbed you as we were walking out of the hall, and I got you to come over to ABC for us. And and I remember that moment, and there was a conversation in that room about whether or not Sarah Palin was really going to be helpful on the ticket back in 2008. And there was a lot of concern that maybe she was too wacky for Republicans or American consumption. Secretary Ridge, welcome to 2016.
Well, Rowan, Anna, thank you. Nice to join you. Nice to remember that moment. You know, John McCain was and is a great friend of mine. I had the privilege, actually, of speaking on behalf of his candidacy short before his wife introduced him at that convention. So that's a great memory. Thank you for reminding me.
Yeah, it was quite a moment. And I thought he did an amazing job. And you know what I would do to have a John McCain on the ticket right now? Do you know what I would do, Tom? You have any idea what most of America would do?
Well, you know what? I agree with you more enthusiastically than you just said it.
Right. Well, as a Republican, what are your views of this election? Are you...
I must tell you, I've been asked that for quite some time. But back in December, I concluded that our nominee was somewhat of an embarrassment to my party and my country. And I said back then that I didn't intend on supporting him, and I haven't. And I think both candidates are horribly flawed. I wish we could come up with two better alternatives. So I've kind of stepped back from the political scene. And as a Republican, spent a little bit of time trying to help the down ticket in Pennsylvania and elsewhere. Mm-hmm. So we'll let it play out how it plays out. But as a 50-year Republican, I just don't see a lot of connect between what we stand for and what he stands for, let alone his just I'm going to bother getting into it. I'm not supporting him. Let's leave it at that.
Right. All right. Okay, all right. Fine.
That's that.
I totally get that. I have the same problem because people are, you know, as soon as you take a position, let me just round out the point and then we'll move on. But you know, within my circumstance, when I am critical of him, and I've been very, very critical of him, people are like, "Well, you just want Hillary. You just want Hillary." No, I don't. I really don't. And under no circumstances in my life would I've ever thought I would be voting for Hillary Clinton for anything. So this isn't even a matter of that. It's just a matter of you know, a great fear about all of the things that are going on in the world. And that's how I will pivot now to this question for you. All of these things that are going on in the world, and who are the people who are going to? It's not so much who the president is, it's the people underneath. And this is, to me, the scary moment here. It's the adults that have to be in the room that advise the president and that have to execute the commands of the president once they leave the Oval Office, right? Once they go out and have to go back to, whether they're going back to the Pentagon or they're going to Homeland Security, they're going anywhere, they're going to the FBI, they have to go and figure out how they're going to do to keep this country safe. And that's a very daunting task, isn't it?
Well, you know, I think whomever prevails in a couple of weeks, they inherit, for a lot of reasons, a threat surface that is much broader and deeper than any other president. Some of it, I think, has occurred because of the incumbent president's decision to basically disengage from the rest of the world. It's not a criticism. He's president. That was his view of the role of America in the global community. My view is much, much different. Americans not only select our leader, but among democratic societies and even some of the non-democratic societies that lean toward us, they want us to be more engaged, not less. And we have some people on the Republican side of the aisle that want to be disengaged. And I don't mean we go to war every time there's a problem, but the world does expect us to lead. And frankly, on the other side of the aisle, they want to disengage economically. Well, I don't know how an America in the 21st century can withdraw from the geopolitical scene and withdraw from the global economy and expect to be safer and to have a sound economy. We can't do that. And yet when I listen to both of these candidates, it sounds like They want to withdraw from the rest of the world, and I happen to think it's in our best interest to be more engaged, not less, period. Yeah. That's the Ridge theory.
Well, economically as well as security-wise, in terms of intelligence assets and having, you know, ears to the tracks, if you will, all over the world, and that becomes a much more difficult task if you start to make enemies with people in certain countries. I must drag you into the Russian situation here, though, because this is startling that this is occurring, that the Russians, and it doesn't seem, with the exception of some folks, some surrogates for Trump and Trump himself, who, you know, try to throw some cold water on this notion that the Russians are interfering here, which if I were them, I wouldn't throw cold water on it, because it's, everyone seems to be on the same page with that. You're a Republican. You have friends still in the security phalanx here in the United States. What do you think?
Well, first of all, I think if the people in the intelligence community have told me that Putin's profile when he was an underling at KGB, to the extent that they have underlings in the KGB, one of his goals, one of his specialties was destabilization. That means you create a lot of uncertainty, a lot of questions, and there's no doubt in my mind that they hacked into the Democrat system, maybe the Republican system. What I think voters need to understand is that every state operates independently of another state, but the notion that somehow this election is rigged is nonsense. They're not going to get access to ballot, or they're not going to be able to affect that ballot totals. But the fact that they're playing around is not surprising to me, because we ignored their incursion, their invasion into Crimea. We basically ignored what they've done in Syria. So everywhere Putin looks, he's done something that heretofore he probably would not have done if he viewed the Americans in a different way. But he doesn't think we're going to be terribly we haven't engaged and we haven't confronted him. We've had rhetorical condemnation, but that certainly doesn't bother President Xi in China, doesn't bother Putin, doesn't bother Assad in Syria. So I'm not surprised that they're using their digital capabilities to do a little mischief. I mean, that's one of the reasons I was in Chicago. I do a lot of cybersecurity work, and I've been working with a company called P4. They do a lot on the physical side. And the threat landscape these days, whether it's terrorism, whether it's the shooter, whether it's a cyber, there's a lot of risk attendant to it. And cyber is just a long list of threats that at the national level, I think we tend to underestimate.
Protecting America, you know, from terror threats is probably going to be an issue that will come up tomorrow at the debate. It's certainly an issue for all of us, a concern. You were the first Secretary of Homeland Security, arriving weeks after 9/11, in charge of securing us, our borders from terror and further terror attacks. What do you think? How has the landscape changed now for the person who's currently in that job and where we sit today?
Well, I think it's a wonderful question. I'd be very interested to, one, if the moderator would ask it, if Chris Wallace would ask it, and secondly, whether you get a straight answer from either one of the candidates. But I think that Americans need to understand that the scourge of terrorism is now global. It comes in different forms. Al-Qaeda was much more strategic. It was a very difficult group to break into. ISIS will take anybody that walks in the door. They don't appear to be interested in any sort of strategic assault on America, but they'd be happy if somebody under the name of their ideology, this Islamic jihadist mindset, pick up a knife, pick up a gun, and praise Allah and bring harm and horror to a particular community. So I think that's different. We've seen it come in other forms in other parts of the world that are also very destabilizing. So I think the next commander-in-chief has the challenge of not only dealing with the domestic economy and domestic threats, but also galvanizing and kind of refocusing the broader global community, I mean our friends, on terrorism and on what I call the digital forevermore. There's a digital war going on right now, and I don't think we're paying enough attention to it. The next president has to.
Yeah, no question about it. And Chicago, I think, Secretary Ridge, I think you point out something very important. Chicago is essential to that, because there's a lot of activity that is either based here or comes through here that needs to be protected. And that's I don't even think Chicagoans are aware of how important internet communication, how central Chicago is to internet communication. So it's a pretty like we were for the railroads in the 19th century and 20th century, we've become that for the internet traffic. And it is that's why this is a very, very, very important part of the world. Hey, let me very quickly, and I know I just have a couple seconds left here, but in terms of Syrian refugees, obviously very politicized in this cycle.
Right.
Do you believe that we should allow, not allow, limit the super vetting? What's your position on Syrian refugees, Secretary?
Well, Syrian refugees, I think, first of all, the vetting process that goes on these days, most of those that have come into this country are women and children. Does not mean that they're terrorists. But I think that if we are satisfied at the quality of the vetting process, whether it's from Syria or any place else, I'm more interested in the quality of the vetting process and limiting access, particularly from certain parts of the world. I'm not into building walls, and I'm not into saying no to everybody under any and all occasions.
All right.
For me, it depends. It really depends on the quality of the vetting process. And I think it's pretty tough to get into this country writ large. Homeland Security has a high threshold. The State Department has a high threshold. And if that's the threshold and you get over it, that's fine. But I think we maintain high standards, which means probably over the years to come, I just don't like the notion that we're just going to set an automatic quota and let everybody in. I just think the vetting process has to be much more intense than it's ever been before, writ large. And I just the notion of walls and barriers to everybody for all time, that's not who we are. I think we can be careful about this. It depends on the, and I'm not aware of the standards, but the standards have to be pretty high before I let you in. But I'm not going to exclude you just because you've come from a certain part of the world, whether it's Syria or anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. All right, Tom Ridge, thank you.
I had a gentleman drive me through the other day. I was in another city. It was from Iran. Iran is that's an enemy of the United States. He went through a pretty significant vetting process. I'm pretty comfortable, 99.999% sure he's not a terrorist. Go through the vetting process. But don't automatically exclude people because of geography or their religion. Mm-hmm. That's not who we are as a country.
Makes sense.
Tom Ridge, thank you very much. Appreciate it, sir.
Always good talking to you. Thank you, Ro. Thanks, Anna.
Thank you for your service, sir. Tom Ridge, former Secretary of Homeland Security, of course, governor of Pennsylvania. Just tell it like it is. Violetta is now going to tell you like it is on the roads.